Welcome to the Leadership Podcast, brought to you by Life West, the Chiropractic College. I'm your host, Dr. Ron Oberstein.
And I'm your host, Dr. Mary Oberstein.
And we're excited to have you join us as we bring special guests in the world of health, leadership, business success, and chiropractic. Our mission is to create a brighter future for humanity, and we are thrilled to walk this journey with you.
Enjoy this episode, and thank you for being with us today.
Well, welcome everybody, Dr. Ron Oberstein, President of Life Chiropractic College West, and welcome to another one of our Life West Leadership Lines. I've got a very special chiropractor with me today, someone that most of you know, and if you don't know, you will know much more about him afterwards. We have the indomitable Dr. Jay Komarek. Jay, welcome to the Life West Leadership Line.
Thank you, Dr. Oberstein. I appreciate it.
Yeah, let's go Ron and Jay. How's that?
That's good. That works for me.
But let me share with the let me share with the audience a little bit. So I'll just give you a history about Dr. Jay. Graduated in 1977 from Western States, and 46 years now, about that, 46, 47 years in practice. Interesting. Graduated, went to Philadelphia. He's a Cairo kid, and I just found this out today. His father graduated in 1959, and his uncle graduated in 1947, and they had practices in Philadelphia, which was so cool. One worked Monday, Wednesday, Friday, the other Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, separate practices, but they can cover for each other. Just a great thing. And he went over and took over his dad's practice and took over his uncle's practice. And so he had two practices there. Ended up leaving there in 1999. He left Philly. Actually, you really didn't leave, Jay. You still practiced in one of the practices, but you were in Colorado and went back and forth from Colorado to Philadelphia to do that. So kind of like a bi-coastal, but not necessarily on the coast in Denver and or in Colorado. And then finally sold his practice in Philadelphia in 2001, and then full-time in Colorado and Durango and in Denver. And now he's in Crested Butte and Salida, spends a day in Salida, and he's all over. But most of you know him as the, you know, as the chiropractor's chiropractor when it comes to veterinarian chiropractic or animal adjusting, I would say, because, you know, vets diagnose and treat diseases. That's not what Jay does. But and we'll get into that. But Jay, you know, you've got a beautiful history. Grew up in Miami, you know, mother from Algeria, father from Czechoslovakia. Met where? World War II or something?
World War II in Algiers.
Ah, that's just awesome. Came to Miami, and then you're born there. Then you went to, you know, you went to Texas, and for when your dad went to Cairo school, and, you know, then Philadelphia, and it's like,
yeah, it was exciting. There was a lot of excitement.
It's a great life. And how many chiropractors are in your family?
13. There's 13, but depending on a spouse that left, I think it's 14.
At one time, was there 14 or?
I think there were 14. So yeah,
that's great. And your son Austin is a chiropractor. You know,
my son is amazing.
Yeah, he's a third generation, right? It's just, just so cool. I mean, it really is. It's just amazing. And, you know, I think that, you know, I guess where I want to start, if you don't mind, is talk about your dad. I mean, you grew up as a Cairo kid, right? You know, or partly. I don't know. How old were you when you went to chiropractic, when your dad went to chiropractic school?
Well, he was in his mid-30s. So he had already run a couple businesses. He was a restaurateur. He had a restaurant in Miami Beach. And I had a sister who was helped by a chiropractor. She had seizures several times a day after receiving a shot. And my parents don't know what it was, but they took her to a chiropractor, and that was the end of her seizures. And my dad then left his business and he went to chiropractic college.
And he was, you were how old at the time?
Oh, geez, I was probably a year old, maybe.
Oh. As long as you can remember, you've been getting adjusted then. And
yeah, I've been adjusted for my entire life.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, and then your father goes to school, right? And you, I think what Texas was in where at the time?
It was in San Antonio.
Okay. So there must have been whispers of you going west, you know, getting your roots. Cause you certainly, you know, I don't know if there's probably animals to adjust in Florida, but probably more racetrack animals than there are.
Right. Right.
But you got to Philly, right? And he went and practiced in Philly. And what was it like in those days, you know, growing up in the 60s as a chiro kid?
Well, you know, I watched my dad and his brother fight chiropractic battles. And not only within the chiropractic profession itself, for something as simple as putting a spine on an ad that showed heart, liver, spleen. You know, I remember them having to go confront the Pennsylvania board because they were confronted because they had run this ad. So they were always, both of them were fierce about chiropractic and very principled chiropractors. And so they around our table, and we had a big farm table, always conversation about chiropractic. And my mother being involved, having advocated for my sister who had been sick and then helped by a chiropractor, she was fierce about the profession and protecting and promoting the profession.
Love it.
So it was always a lot of passion and excitement and conversation about what we were up to in the profession.
I love
and
it.
And as a kid, whatever they were doing, I wanted to do was so exciting. And the passion was there. And I could feel that as a kid.
Like, do you remember hanging out in the office and having patients coming in? And, you know, and in Philadelphia at the time, I don't know, Reggie was in Jersey, I think, Reggie Gold. He started Addio, and I don't know what
year. Yeah, which was 10 minutes from my office. So Addio was close. It was in Levittown, and my practice was in Langhorne. And so it was very, very, in fact, I donated to them when I got out of school. I bought a new x-ray unit, and I gave to them my x-ray unit that I had, that my father had. And I remember all these students came, and whoever was running the school, they came and took this x-ray unit out with some behemoth x-ray.
It was one of those you used to have to crank up like a 100, 125. I think I got one of those when I first started, and it was like, oh, you had to hold the button for like six seconds.
Yeah.
And so, then your uncle, obviously, because he went to school before your dad, right? He graduated you said like in the 40s, right? 47.
So
he must have been influential also, obviously.
He was a very strong structural adjuster, and their offices were was on one end of U.S. Steel and the other one was on the other end of U.S. Steel, 16 miles apart. So most of them were steel workers who were just hurt and injured. But what I remember was them loving, in particular, my dad did a lot of pediatrics. My uncle did steel workers, and they just loved him. And I remember my uncle got me started on horses. He had race horses. And on Saturday, my dad would drop me off at the office at 8, and I would stay in the office till noon, and then we would go to the racetrack. And so I watched horses get adjusted as a kid, and that's how I fell in love with the horse industry.
Perfect segue. Because, you know, obviously as a child, that's where you got into it, right? You know?
Yes.
Seeing that. You know, when you went to school, did you know that you wanted to be leaning toward, you know, animals or?
Yes, I my dad's best friend, John Cavallo, was a chiropractor in Easton, Pennsylvania. And his claim to fame was he took care of Larry Holmes, Paul Newman, Mario Andretti. They were all. And the reason Paul Newman was in Easton was that Mario Andretti and him were friends. And so this friend of my father, John Cavallo, adjusted horses. And as a kid, I was 7 or 8. My dad would take me to his farm and I would watch him adjust a horse. And I can tell him, I was telling my dad, I'm going to be a horse chiropractor. I thought I was crazy. So, what? I said, I'm going to adjust horses because I saw Dr. Cavallo adjust horses.
And was it the same techniques, same stuff that you're doing now?
No, I developed my own style at, I developed a comprehensive approach to the structure of the horse because of a quadruped. It's different. You know, the focus is on the central nervous system and liberating it from interference.
Yeah.
But a horse gets components, biomechanical components, peripheral to the spine that have got to be addressed. And my style changed, you know.
Right. So you went from a Miami, Philadelphia kind of a vibe to Colorado, you know, very Western vibe, right? You know, I'm sure you got cowboy boots on and you're walking through farms and ranches and all that kind of, you know, and doing that. And yet, you know, I mean, I think there's not one person who would deny that the farm life is a much more mellower life. I'm sitting here in Montana right now and, you know, I got stuck. We have 4 feet of snow in 2 days this weekend. And, you know, I got stuck in a million people in my four wheel drive, you know, and a million people just show up just to get you out. You know, it's just, you know, where I could be in the city in Detroit and I could be stuck and a million people will just pass me by, you know, kind of deal. Right. Obviously you just developed something, you know, in Colorado. And how did you do it? What was your, you know, what did you do when you got there?
Well, the cowboy culture started when I was a kid in Texas. And I went to my first couple rodeos when I was four or five and six. And I got embodied that. There was something about that culture that resonated with me. And then coming to Texas or coming to Colorado, I got here and the first thing I did was, I notified I went on the Yellow Pages back then.
Most of our viewers who are 20 years and older in practice will remember the Yellow. I hope. I don't even know, but I certainly do.
I contacted all the veterinarians who had anything to do with holistic health. They were doing acupuncture, massage, nutrition, and I let them know that I had been in practice and that I'm happy to come and demonstrate to them what I do. And I had a veterinarian. In fact, she became a board member for the veterinary board in Colorado. She hired me right on the spot. I adjusted two dogs and she said, can you give me a day a week? I said, I can do a half a morning. Wednesday morning, I'd show up and until 2 p.m, I'd see 30, 40 dogs, cats, and the occasional horse. And I took a percentage of what she charged at the time. This was, I think she was charging $74 or something, and I took 49 or something like that. And she did all the scheduling, collected the money, wrote me a check at the end of the morning. That built my people practice because those people were, Dr. J, where do you practice? And once they see, I can't stress this, maybe we'll talk about it a little later, that when a person watches an animal adjusted, they want that.
Yeah.
I built my people practices out of veterinary offices, all of them. And it's an amazing phenomena.
Yeah, I know it is. And, you know, it's interesting, too. I think that, you know, anyone who's been around horses, you know, horse owners know that the horse owners would do anything for their horses. I mean, they'll take better care of their horses. And I say this facetiously, than their own children. You know, I mean, they'll like invest in, if anything's even wrong, it's like, we got to, you know, see somebody, you know, if the kid has something wrong, it's okay. You'll get through it, you know, kind of deal. They just love their horses and they respect it. You know,
I got on the Today Show because of a producer who loved her horse so much, who shipped the horse 2 hours to my place, adjusted the horse. A veterinarian brought the horse. A good friend of mine, Dr. Bob, he was from Texas, good old boy from Texas. And he brought a horse that he couldn't help and adjusted the horse. And about 2 weeks later, after the horse got better, I get a call from a producer of the Today Show and said, you helped my horse. I said, yeah, it was wonderful. I said, it was the horse had been shipped over from Germany and was jostled on the plane is what we made the assumption. And she said, well, do you mind if we come out with a crew? I said, and she spent the entire day and they did a 3 or 4 minute section on the Today Show, which was a big deal back in the late 80s or late 90s. And all because of the love of her horse and they had spent they can spend tons of money. She spent thousands and thousands of dollars trying to help this horse.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Couple adjustments. I think I charged $150 back then. now it's different, but
yeah, I got it. So walk us through this because I think it'd be, you know, a full day in practice for you right now because you're still practicing, right? You're still seeing animals and you're still seeing people. And I think you said you go to Salinas every once a week, right?
Yes.
Yeah. But on just a full day, what does your day look like? You know, you're 46 years in. And, you know, still doing your thing and still loving every minute of it. Right. You know, what's it look like? You know, you wake up in the morning, you do your thing and then you start to head out. Where are you going?
You know, well, in order to do it and sustain the energy to do it, I have a routine that is very disciplined that involves meditation and prayer in the morning and start my day. And then I still am in love with seeing people. The dogs come in, the person comes in, a dog comes in, I'll run out and go do a horse, and I come back. And so my day is, now we've got a little split where the horses are in the afternoon. But when I had my home office, it was do 5-6 people, go do 2-3 dogs, go do a couple horses. And it was just, and it's still like that.
They bring them to you?
Yes, they bring them to. Now, in Colorado, like here in Salida, I go to a ranch. And then they line up the horses at the ranch for me. They know Jay's coming, and they know that you got to have 6-7 horses to make it worth my while to be there. And they set all that up. And when I used to travel, I would travel to California, all over, Gilroy, you name it, all over California. And the barns knew I was coming, and they would line up 8-10 horses, go to the next barn. And I worked with several great veterinarians there. And in Arizona, Florida, I would go back to Philadelphia, and I would work on the racetrack. And the vets knew me, and they would host me and then line up just a ton of work. And then I realized I enjoyed it. I had been in the office for 20 years, and then getting on a plane to go do it was fun for me. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And now our energy is devoted to teaching. We have, over this next 5 months, and we have one program a month up until September, we have one program a month in Austria, France.
Tell us the segue. So, I mean, obviously people want to know, what are you doing? How's it working? You know, I want to get involved. And I think I told you when we spoke, maybe, I don't know, 3 weeks ago, whatever, that, you know, I've got a wonderful student at school. I want to say she might be in sixth quarter right now, something like that. You know, she drives an hour and a half every day one way, you know, to get to school because she lives on a ranch, and she's got 12 horses, and, you know, she just can't leave the horses for her mom and dad to take care of, you know, so she takes care of them in the morning, someone sees them, and then, you know, throughout the day, and then she comes back, you know, afterwards, and she's really becoming a chiropractor because she wants to take care of horses. And, mm-hmm. you know, and you're going to meet her when you come to the college, but tell me, you know, it evolved, obviously. Was it people who said to you, I want to learn this, or was it you saying, I want to get this out?
It was both. I was teaching structural adjusting, and I was part of a program. This was in the late 90s with Dr. Arnaud Bernier, where we were doing masterpiece training. So I was teaching human structural work. But the way back in the 80s, I started to get asked to speak at different programs. And one of the first group of students was actually at Life West, where one of the students contacted me. And then I wound up doing programs at the school, Half Moon Bay. And we had usually two programs a year there up until, I don't know, 8-10 years ago, we were there. Then Dr. Reekman and Life, you know, Sherman, Dr. Cordero. I knew Dr. Cordero very well. He took care of my mother in Florida. And so I adored him, and my mother adored him. And so I just got asked, and then I'm a very good instructor. I'm really, really good. I love watching people get turned on by learning something they've never heard before. And then watching, you watch a horse get adjusted, and you see such a dramatic change in the neurology. It's immediate. Yeah. So they realize, wow, it's much bigger than they thought. And so I fell in love with that. And then we developed our own continuing ed. Like, if you go and get your 220 hour certification every year, every 2 years, you're required to have continuing ed. So my business partner, Dr. Petra Solwald, and her husband, Clayton, I introduced them. They were both students at Life in Hayward. And she then developed the continuing ed program, and they built it around what I taught. And so now we have the continuing ed online, and we go, I'll tell you the run now. We have, we're in California in 2 weeks at Dr. I forget her name. It'll come to me in a second. We're in California. Then we go to Costa Rica. We go to Cancun, Austria, France, back to Colorado. And I think there's one in Atlanta. That's all coming up over the next 6-7 months.
I love it. So when you go to Austria and you're in France, is it chiros that you're teaching or
veterinarians okay. in Austria? And right. he's one of the guys who's very well known in Austria, just took our program last summer. And he then is hosting us for a big group of veterinarians.
Yeah. I love it. I love it. You know, and I, you know, I'm sure they're getting the principle too, you know, I'm sure they're understanding that, you know, there's an intelligence within the body and that the body, you know, whether it's a horse that, or human, it doesn't matter.
That we drive home. That is for me as I drive that home.
Yeah.
And the correction is not about curing anything, but about restoring dynamic equilibrium, about freedom and about that. The, you know, I always tell this story. I had a woman got a hearing back. It was like 10, 12 years ago, and everybody's had those, some level of hearing or sight or, and I was asking her, where was the hearing all these years? You know, it was the potential was in there.
Right.
And all I did was liberate what was in you all along. Right. And same with the horse.
Right. Yeah. You know, it's so, I mean, I have to tell you right now, when you just said that, I'm kind of at the edge of my seat. I've been all day. We right now, you know, LifeWest does service trips, right? And so right now I've got two trips out. I have one in Mexico City and one in Tonga. It's our first time going to Tonga since the pandemic, right? We're supposed to be there that March. We were going for a couple of years, supposed to be there that March when everything shut down in March 2020. We finally got to go back there right now. I got a text from, you know, one of my people who are there, who's helping to run it, right? One of my vice presidents or associate vice president, Adrian Ferris. And he's the one who took me to Tonga to introduce me to the people there. I went to Fiji and Tonga about where we're going to be. And it was very clear that Tonga had the need more than Fiji. So that we went to Tonga. They just saw 14 student interns with maybe one doc for sure, you know, from the college is with them. Yesterday saw over 2,600 people. Just that's it. And they, you know, they went to a school in the morning and had 1,600 students all lined up, ready to come on the tables, and then 150 administrators, and then they took care of people after. It's like, and the reason I brought that up, Jay, is because that's what happens. These miracles happen all the time.
Yeah,
and I don't even call them miracles. They're not miracles. It's just restoring normal function, right?
Restoration. Yeah.
Restoration.
So, I love that. I just had this conversation. And you know, you get so used to it. Somebody was asking me like, what's your exciting case? I said, they're all exciting.
Yeah.
I said, they're all, somebody was interviewing me from Spain. That's about 2-3 weeks ago. And I was saying, they're all exciting. It's like, but you get to where you realize, oh, the potential is going to express itself and the person's whatever issue they've got is going to resolve. And you have a happy person. You know, you have a very happy person. And yeah.
I always say this, and I really mean this, and I'll say this till, you know, till I'm in my grave, and I'll still be saying it, I'm sure. You know, the greatest miracles that we have are the ones that we don't see. You know, it's that guy or gal who's literally just set up to just have a heart attack, you know, in the next few days. And then they have, you know, they get adjusted, their nervous system rebalances, the restoration comes in, and it just pivots that path. And we would have never known it, you know, and boom, pivots that path. And as you know, being in practice for so long, and same thing with me, you know, that, man, people coming in for 30, 35 years and, you know, they just keep coming. In fact, I used to ask them, when you first came in, why did you come? Why'd you come see us? You know? And they might say, oh yeah, let me think. Well, oh, I had migraines or whatever it might be that drove them in, but that's not why they're there anymore. They're there because of how they feel, because of, they know that they're expressing themselves at such a higher level. And you get to witness it not only in people, but in four-leggeds, you know? And I think it's so cool. You know,
that piece around the four-leggeds for me was the science part of my brain, which was, I want to see this. I'm not going to say the word subluxation. It's just me interacting with this four-legged. And I wanted to see the purity of what an adjustment could do without any verbiage, just me, the correction. And then I had parameters that I wanted to see as far as respiration and movement and tone and heat reading instruments. I had a parameter that I followed that was so dramatic. And it was much, much quicker than with a human. That part was always And I realized that the human narrative that people got running in their head interferes with their fear, their anxiety. You don't see that with a horse. You make a correction or a dog, and it's immediate.
No, and it's that, you know, I think, you know, it's just a subluxation of Atlas. It's I don't say it's a negative on chiropractic. It's whatever's in there about, I can't, I'm not good enough. I own this, you know, like people own their disease process, their dis-ease processes. Yes. You know, their story becomes so entangled about, my shoulder had been like this since 1995. and they own this. And animals, you know, that, I mean, I guess you'd agree with this. You know, it's always been said that if you want to prove a science, children and animals, right? No subjective mind, right?
Yes. My father told me, I'll just say it because it was funny. He was very Czech and very strong in his language. And he used to tell me that the number one issue you're going to deal with people was the checkup from the neck up here. And that fear was his thing. He said, you're going to be dealing people that are in a state of fear. And then his marketing was promote. Those were my lessons. And he was very, very strong with his patients. If you missed an appointment, oh geez, he would go on. We had a reception room, sat 30 people. He would go out and read you up in front. He said something, I won't say it now because we've got probably, anyway, I won't say it, but my father went out to a reception room and said, Gene Kehoe, who had missed an appointment, the guy had killed somebody in a car accident. The car was entangled. And the guy was dangling. He couldn't get the picture out of his head. My dad adjusted him, and he was able to sleep for the first time in 6 months. Yeah. So he missed an appointment after several months of care. My father went out, full waiting room, and said, Gene Kehoe, if you ever miss a... No, first he prefaced it by saying, you dirty bass. You dirty bastard. If you ever miss another appointment with me, I'm going to go over there and kick you in the...
Yeah, yeah.
And anyway, in all 40 people in that reception room, nobody ever missed an appointment. He was very, very strict. You said to be there on Wednesday, you better show up.
Yeah, but you know what's so cool about that? You know, it's that your father held, you know, the checkup. You know, he held the nervous system and the subluxation in such reverence that it's like, how could you miss, right?
Yes.
You know, yeah. I mean, and that's what's so cool about it. Now, I got to tell you, when I see that stuff happen, you know, when people, you know, they're getting results because they hold such high esteem, you know?
Yeah. And they want somebody, they don't want you to be authoritative. They want an authority. So when I say you're subluxated and you have interference on the brainstem preventing you from healing, I say it with such like certainty that nobody questions that. And I've got doctors, and if you want to know the neurology, I take the Carrick programs. I know how to talk that language, but I am so certain about what a correction will do to a subluxation and what the potential is, or the possibility for, and the potential. I always wonder when people are struggling building a practice, I realize learn how to make the correction, learn how to do whatever technique, devote yourself to doing it very well, and then be absolutely certain about the principle of chiropractic and learn to speak it in your own language. Don't speak someone else's. Speak your own language, whatever it is. It doesn't have to be science oriented, but when you say it, it's got to resonate as truth. Right. And that's the key. We always had a waiting list of people trying, horses, people, dogs. And I'm convinced it was the fact that I was so excited. I still am. I'm still excited. I still love going. Tomorrow morning, I'm going to get up at 5 to go drive to Salida for my first person. And I can't wait to go to work.
But Jay, I got to tell you, I hear exactly, and I agree with everything you said, except and I know you're excited, but it's not the excitement. It's the owning of it.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
It's the own. Cause I know when you're busy, you know, you aren't jumping around, you know, you're so in the zone with what you're doing, you know, but you own it, and people feel that, you know, they want that, you know, they want somebody who has it, you know?
Yeah. Well, they don't see it anywhere else. That's for sure. No. You know, they don't, you know, your dentist isn't doing that. Their medical care is not doing that. But here that not, you know, I always say it is, it's one thing to have the philosophy, but you have the ability to deliver on the philosophy. And now over this last 25 years, we have the science that is supporting. So you got this triad, this three-legged stool of philosophy, the art, the science of it. I mean, it's a home run. It's,
yeah,
it's always been a home run.
Yeah,
it's always been a home run.
And the other thing we have too, which I think you're alluding to, is we have the technology now too. So we could actually show pre and posts, you know, whether it's X-ray, whether it's thermography, whether it's, you know, SEMG, whether it's whatever it is, you know, we have the technology, the objective technology to be able to show that. And you can't dispute it. And it doesn't matter how somebody feels. And it doesn't matter if their symptoms go away or not, you know, it's about, you know, whether your body is functioning at a higher level. And it's easy to say to someone, you know, your symptoms are between you and your body, and that's going to, you know, they'll do what they do. But, you know, the bottom line is you are functioning better, you know, and boom, next thing you know, they're doing great, you know?
Yeah. I have to say, I love the symptomatic relief. I that's not my focus, but when someone's migraine goes away, I'm like, yay. You know, that's not what I'm about. But the fact that whatever that they came in with is resolved, it's wonderful. You know,
it changes their lives. And that's the cool thing, you know, I mean, you know, what we said earlier, you know, it's like that's what I expect. Right. And yet, you know, I don't expect anything, to be honest with you, but you know, it doesn't surprise me. My wife, when my wife, and she'll go back into practice, she's semi-retired because she took off to be with me up in Hayward. But, you know, her, if you were in the office with her all day, the thing you'd hear the most is, that doesn't surprise me. Hey, doc, my migraines went awesome. That doesn't surprise me. Or, you know, or, hey, doc, I still have my migraines. That doesn't surprise me. You know, it's like, you know, and then you go into the principal, but it's so cool. And I just want to just honor you. You know, I know we're kind of getting to the end of our conversation. I'm so thankful that we have people like you in the profession that understands, you know, the principle, understands the science, understands the art, you know, that three-legged stool that you talked about, the science, philosophy, and art, that really has that well balanced. Because my belief is if we have that well balanced, that's who we are. Right.
Yes.
And that's what comes through. And that's what comes through. So I am so thrilled because, listen, I think this, I think, and I'll profess that I took care of animals, you know, but I never really had any formal training. I had a technique that was able to translate it. And I kind of wish I did have formal training. And but I think everyone should. And like you said, it's a great way to, you know, build a practice like you did. But it's also a great service that we're offering to people because, you know, the four-leggeds need it also, right?
It expands people's awareness about chiropractic because once they see it in an animal and they watch that it recovered, all of a sudden they realize, oh, this isn't anything like what I thought it was.
Yeah.
And so they learn about chiropractic unwittingly. They learn it by watching this animal. You know, you adjust a dog and the dog is running around crazy afterwards. They're like, what is that? That's the natural expression and happiness of that dog. And so, you know, the people, they get it in a different way, which is wonderful for our profession.
And, it is. And it's wonderful for them, you know, because they actually, they get to witness it. Jay, thank you, man. Thanks for spending the last, you know, 30 or so minutes with me and with our listeners and our viewers. I mean, this is just incredible. And you know, to our viewers, thank you. You know, thanks for tuning in week after week. You know, these are our LifeWest Leadership Lines. And every other week, you know, we put out the Life by LifeWest with myself and my wife, Dr. Mary. Just thanks for keep coming back. I mean, I want you to share this, and I know you have been sharing it. Our viewership is so high right now, highest it's been. Just, you know, it's so cool. People need to know where they can get adjusted and how they can get their animals adjusted and what they can do. And I hope you take away some diamonds and some gems from this conversation because, you know, Jay, you really own it, brother. And I'm just so excited that we got, you know, got to tape this, you know. So thanks again, my man. I really appreciate it.
Great. Thank you for having me.
Yep. And our viewers, thank you once again. And we'll be coming back at you. So just, you know, stay tuned, listen in. We've got some great guests coming up. Hey, I just love you. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep, you know, spreading the word about chiropractic, letting people know that they're more powerful than most were ever led to believe. And please never stop telling the story about the potential of the body. So until we come back at you, for Dr. Jay and myself, We'll bid you adieu, and I'll see you next time.
Thank you for joining us today. And for the love, commitment, and passion you emanate every day.
Together, we know we will make this world a better place.